And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. We are back after what I hope was a wonderful weekend for you. I hope you had a restful time, spent some time with family, got an opportunity to go to church. And actually, I want to thank some folks who are listeners who visited our church on Sunday from North Carolina on Sunday morning. Always grateful to see visitors coming in. And God bless you. I won't give the names, but thank you all for stopping by. And any time you want to do that, feel free. Well, folks, this is a very special day. Well, it may not be special to everybody, but today is my birthday. Yes, today is my birthday, January the 13th. I was born on January the 13th, 1952. Been around here a while, thank God. You know, I think I've mentioned to you, well, I've mentioned George Washington probably more often than some people would like. But, you know, George Washington died at the age of 67. I've been around longer than George Washington already, and I'm grateful for every single moment. And I joked with Jim Standley and the staff at American Family Radio when I knew that we had preborn interviews and promotions coming up, because we really do want to help save the lives of unborn children. But I joked. I said, you know, that yes, January the 13th is the day I'm doing my interview. That is great. And by the way, send your contributions to. You know, I love, you know, that idea. You know, it's interesting. I'm one of those people. I've met people who take their birthdays off. They don't work on their birthdays and that sort of thing. I've never done that. I just, and I'm not criticizing people who do it. God bless them, you know, to each his own. But I've just never done that. I just thought, well, you know, yes, my birthday. And in fact, often I would say to my wife, well, you know, let's do something on the weekend. If my birthday falls on a weekday and I'm busy, let's do something on the weekend. And so we would celebrate my birthday usually the weekend after my birthday, so that I don't have to be interrupted with the things I'm trying to do. So that's why I'm here with you all today. I love working. I love being busy. I love getting things done. And so I'm happy to be with you. And so I say, send your contributions to the E.W. Jackson Enhancement Fund. But no, folks, that of course is a joke. But on a serious note, if you really want to encourage me, if you really want to thank me, or you know, you want to just let me know that the program is a blessing to you, this is the perfect way to do it. We're going to have a representative of Preborn on in the next segment. And I would ask, if you're thinking, boy, I sure would like to encourage E.W. Jackson, sure would like to bless Bishop Jackson, send them a donation. You know, my birthday is on the 13th. Send them $13 and by the way, I'm 68 years old. Send them $68. I was born in 1952. Send them $52. Well, whatever. Just send them whatever you're comfortable sending. But I would consider that to be a great birthday gift to me. I really would. I'm serious about that, because look, I was born in very difficult circumstances. And my story is the American story. When I was born, my mother and father were having difficulties. In fact, really, to my father, to hear him tell it, and I think my mother essentially agrees with this, that they really had, for all practical purposes, broken up. But you know, sometimes when relationships are ending, there's sort of the off again, on again process. Well, frankly, folks, I'm the result of one of those on again moments, but it was really pretty much over. And so by the time I came into this world, the marriage was over, and shortly thereafter, of course, they were divorced. And there was some, I guess, controversy over exactly how I was going to be cared for. My father ended up in control of that, but realizing as a single father, he could not take care of me, I ended up being placed in foster care at 18 months old. So my birth circumstance was not, you know, easy. It was not very promising, frankly. In fact, my father told me that at one point he took me to a doctor when I had, I guess, sometimes in early adolescence. My father did not abandon me. I mean, he stayed in touch. He wasn't raising me, but he would visit from time to time. And I don't remember this, by the way, folks. This is what I'm told. Apparently, as a young child, I had problems with very, very high, dangerous fevers for some reason. I don't know where they came from or what that was all about. And at one point, my father had taken me to see a doctor, I guess around the age of 7, 8 years old for something. He was asked by my foster parents to take care of. And he said the doctor, it was a doctor he had taken me to before when I was very young. And the doctor said to him, "Yeah, I'm shocked that this boy's alive. I didn't think he was going to make it this long because I was so sickly." And I don't know whether that had anything to do with the circumstances of my life, because for the first 18 months, apparently I was just moved around from one foster home to another. And then at 18 months, I landed in the home of Willie and Rebecca Mollett, who became my foster parents, and I stayed with them until I was 10. I said all that simply to say this. You know, the abortion industry would have us believe that when a child is being born into difficult circumstances, it's just easier. It's just more convenient. It's just a more moral thing to do, to kill the child, just snuff the child's life out. And that way, you know, I mean, that's real feminism. That's real women controlling their own bodies. No, what it is, folks, is it's real killing. That's what it is. It's real killing. And I consider myself to be proof positive that just because a person is born into difficult circumstances, born into poverty, born into a broken home, as I was, but, you know, forced to be raised in foster care, doesn't mean that person cannot or will not have a meaningful life. And, you know, it just really irks me that leftists have taken the place of God. And they are going to determine whether a child's life is worth living, because they're going to look at the circumstances and decide, no, that's not a good situation. Well, that child's got to go. That, no matter what the circumstance, look, folks, you know, God is ultimately the one who determines what happens in our lives. I mean, we of course, we have to make our own personal choices. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, you know, just like the situation with rape, and people say, well, you know, of course, in a rape situation, you've got to destroy the baby. Well, James Robison, one of the most renowned evangelists in our country, who is blessing people all over the world, is the product of rape. I mean, who are we to say what God can do with the life of a human being, regardless of how we may view that person's conception or beginning? You know, that's part of the problem, is people want to be their own God. And so I'll tell you, folks, I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful to have been born. I'm grateful to be an American. I'm grateful for the life that God has given me these years. And I'm looking forward to many, many more to come. And our next guest is going to talk a little bit about what we can do to save the lives of pre-born children, maybe in the same situation I was in. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Should a person who burns down a gay pride flag be sentenced to 16 years in prison? I would hope that most of us would agree that the sentence is extreme. On more than one occasion, I've been asked to comment on this absurd sentence from Iowa. I waited until I could get all the facts, and the facts illustrate why we need to reconsider hate crime legislation. The man sentenced to 16 years had a long criminal history. He took a rainbow flag from a church and burned it in public. It is difficult to see how he could have been sentenced to much time behind bars, considering that the Supreme Court ruled years ago that burning an American flag is akin to constitutionally protected free speech. He was originally sentenced to prison for harassment and reckless use of fire, but the judge ruled that his action was a hate crime since he did say on television that he burned down their pride, plain and simple. The hate crime charge is considered a felony, and that became strike three. He was sentenced to 15 years in prison with an additional year for reckless use of fire. None of us like what he did or even what he said, but he didn't deserve 16 years in prison. And that's what is wrong with hate crime legislation. We should focus on what a perpetrator does with his hands without regard to what he thought in his mind. On some occasions, we need to know what is in the mind of a criminal. For example, was the action intentional or accidental? But in most cases, we should focus on the act, not the thought. Too often, hate crime legislation blurs into the idea of a thought crime George Orwell warned about in his book 1984. As a guest rightly noted, Orwell was right about the idea of Big Brother, he just got the date wrong. This absurd sentence for burning a gay pride flag illustrates the problem with hate crime legislation. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
This Sanctity of Life Month, we're honoring the preborn and the lives of the over 60 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion. The Ministry of Preborn is the direct competition to Planned Parenthood and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country.
And I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
80% of women in crisis choose life after meeting their baby on ultrasound. Would you join with Preborn and AFR today and help save 2,500 babies? One ultrasound session costs $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. Any gift will help. Call now, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or visit AFR.net. That's AFR.net. Your love can save a life.
Brian Fisher here. Regressives are planning to take houses away from renters so they can give them to the homeless. Massive protests break out in Iran, but they're not against the great Satan. Mitch calls Nancy's bluff and she folds. And how Trump should respond to Nancy's demand that Bolton testify. That and more next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, I could not be more gratified than on my birthday to have as my guest someone who has spent the last 24 years of his life dedicated to saving babies from the tragedy of abortion. In fact, he saved and is responsible for saving over 70,000 unborn children, and not to mention countless women who have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is currently president and founder of Preborn, a national Christ-centered ministry providing ultrasounds to women in unplanned pregnancies. And Dan Steiner, thank you so much for what you do, and thanks for taking time to be with us here on American Family Radio. God bless you, sir.
Hey, Bishop. No, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much, and happy birthday, brother. It's a great thing. You know, as we're talking about trying to give birthdays to these little babies.
Amen.
Today, so
Amen. Well, I said to the audience in the last break that I was born into very difficult circumstances, and this idea of our acting like God, that we can look at the circumstances of a child's birth and determine that that child is not worthy of life, is really one of the most horrific things that human beings can deign to do, trying to step into the place of God and predict what's going to happen with another human being. But look, you're saving lives, and I'm just glad to be with you. Tell us a little bit about Preborn, first of all, and exactly what you do.
Glad to do it. So together with American Family Radio and this program, Preborn offers free, compassion-based, Christ-centered alternatives to young women who are considering aborting their children in the highest abortion cities of America. 59% of all the abortions in America are done in the state, and there's only 9 of them, where we focus our the majority of our efforts. Now, we give ultrasound machines to centers in every state, but we are the alternative to the abortion industry in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Miami, Dallas, Houston, Washington, D.C., offering in our pregnancy clinics help to these girls so that they'll choose life. It's pretty simple, really, Bishop. They find us on the Internet. They come to one of our clinics. We connect with them emotionally and try to ascertain the pressures that are having them abort. And then we try to alleviate whatever those pressure points is. Is it financial? Is it housing? Is it the mother pushing the girl, which is 48% of the time? Is it the boyfriend or husband pushing the pregnant girl? That's 42% of the time, which means 80% of the time. Wow. Plus, she doesn't really want the abortion. She's being, you know, pressured and coerced into getting rid of her pregnancy, people not wanting to take responsibility for their choices. And when we show her courtesy of one of your listeners who has underwritten an ultrasound session for that girl, she gets to meet her baby for the first time, close encounter of the best guy. Courtesy of a listener meeting her baby within her womb, real time. Her motherly instincts, given by the Lord and the chief executive officer of Preborn, Jesus Christ, he's built that in her. Mm-hmm. When she has that experience with that baby, right there in that ultrasound room, he's moving around like a little astronaut inside her amniotic sac and the fluid there, and her heart typically will gravitate towards mothering this child, and saving that child's life. And that's what we're about, giving her that experience. And that's what we're about here today, too, obviously, on our program, is getting callers to dial 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, to go to AFR.net and be part of this Christ-centered solution for these young women that are in these unplanned pregnancies all across America and in the highest abortion cities.
And, Dan, I've encouraged my listeners that if they want to say thank you to me or encourage me on my birthday, this would be a great way to do it. I can't think of anything that would give me more satisfaction than for them to sponsor one or more of these ultrasounds. So I really appreciate this opportunity. It's a perfect, frankly, it's a perfect birthday gift for me. And, Dan, I understand. I understand that the degree to which women who may have been pressured or leaning toward abortion, the degree to which they change after they encounter you and the service that you provide, the ultrasound, seeing their baby, is pretty dramatic.
It really is. Because it really isn't their heart, because it really is other folks and extraneous pressures on them, and they realize that it's their baby that they're seeing. It's about 80% of the time, sometimes it's much higher. They will choose life. And, you know, this ultrasound is given to the girls for free, as is all of our services after they choose life, which is maternity clothes, doctor visits, and cribs and car seats and diapers after the baby's born for 2 years, you know, baby clothes and onesies and all of that. We give it for free because of listeners each donating just $28 for that ultrasound. That's the starting activity for them to choose life. And then we follow it up. One thing to say to a woman, shouldn't have an abortion, but it's another thing to then say, and we will be there. We will go into the delivery room with you. We will, you know, be there for the next 2 years for shoes for the kid and you know, cribs and car seats, whatever they need. So it's really a practical thing, you know, a loving thing for these women that we're doing to help them really have hope. That's really what we're selling, I guess, is hope that in this situation, can be positive, that they can get through it. There is somebody that cares that will walk through with them. I remember a young woman that came into our center a couple months ago, and she said, "I don't have anybody. My family's in another country. My boyfriend will kick me out of where we're living if I don't support this child. I have nobody." And the counselor looked at her and said, "You have me. I'll be here." And she chose life. And we're walking with her through this unplanned pregnancy situation. That's we're doing here.
Yeah, you can't. You're not going to find, Dan, very many things that you can give to that can say to you, "We've got about an 80% success rate," trying to achieve what we're trying to do. So it is worthwhile. Now, go ahead and give the number again, and how people can connect with you and make the donation. Because when my program is over, I'm going to join in. I hope everybody else will too. What do they do?
Well, I sure appreciate your heart for this, Bishop. Yeah, your tax deductible donation, 100% of which, every ultrasound, we give 100% of the money. We don't pay for preborn salaries or our overhead with it. We independently fundraise for that. Your contribution, 100% of which will go to the pregnancy clinics that we lead and run in these high abortion cities for these mothers, to give them the ultrasound sessions. Call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can donate securely at AFR.net. And we'll send you, if you do that, you'll get a receipt from AFR on that. And the satisfaction, moreover, of knowing that, it's one thing to really have your heart broke over abortion, which we all do, but it's really something else to take that next step and do something. It's less than a night out. Valerie and I, when we go out, typically $28 means you have to do fast food, right? But actually really 80% of the time, as you said, save a life. With that $28.
And you just gave me an idea. My wife and I went out to dinner yesterday for my birthday because our church members gave us a gift certificate. Well, actually, I think our children gave us a gift certificate, and we went out for dinner, and it was a rather expensive dinner. And so what I'm going to do when I get done with the program, since we didn't have to pay for the cost of the dinner, I'm going to donate the cost of the dinner if we had paid for it to what you all are doing, and that'll give you several $28 ultrasounds, several $28 contributions. So you just gave me that idea talking about, right, you go out to dinner, you're likely to spend that. If you, two people go out, you're going to spend more than that in almost every case.
Yeah, it's the truth. And these girls, they usually don't have funds to pay for this medical service, this ultrasound. We provided for free, $300 value, if they wanted to get it in a medical facility. But it's because of the listeners of AFR and of The Awakening that we're able to provide this to these girls and all of the services that accompany it. Most importantly, Bishop, as you well know, we give them the one thing they need the most, and that is an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're evangelists to these women. We believe that their greatest need is to know Jesus so they have a basis, a worldview upon which they can make good decisions and choose life. So we're just really encouraging listeners to, once again, as we've done now for several years at AFR, to rise up and do your part in offering these free solutions to these girls. We have seen over 25,000 women choose life in 2019, with 7,100 women give their hearts to Christ last year because of our partnership with Awakening and Awakening and AFR.
Dan, thank you so much. I'm going to give the number again, but thank you for joining us. God bless you. Keep up the good work. We've got the best listeners in the world. We're going to be donating.
Amen.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
I once read of a little girl's experience in riding a train through tunnels. The first time she was on a train which passed through a tunnel, she scooted over real close to her mother, and held on for dear life. However, after a few experiences, the little girl was much more relaxed while passing through the tunnels. Eventually, after just leaving a tunnel, the little girl turned to her mother and remarked, "Mother, I like tunnels." Rather stunned, the mother asked why she liked tunnels. The small child replied, "Because tunnels have light at both ends." There are many tunnels we must pass through in life, tunnels of deep hurt, disappointment, sorrow, grief. In the midst of life's tunnels, when it is the darkest, there are some things about God we need to remember. One thing we need to remember is that God is with us, working for us, even when we aren't aware of His presence. God doesn't hang out a sign which says, "The Almighty is at work here." God goes about His business of healing the hurt in our lives, and He does it unseen, unheard, and unnoticed. God is much like a majority of the people responsible for the production of a movie. They work behind the scenes, putting the pieces together so that the movie will have meaning to it. Often the presence of God is more of a conviction than it is a feeling. His presence, you see, isn't dependent upon our feelings. Sometimes the hurt is so great in the darkness of the tunnel, we're not aware of God's presence. But tunnels have light at both ends. Keep traveling. Don't stop. Another thing about God we need to remember when in a tunnel is this. Even when we fail to ask for His help, God continues to help. Sometimes the hurt in life is so deep that we cannot utter well-worded prayers as we normally would. Perhaps we even fail to think of God. Does a parent always wait to be asked by his child before he begins to help? Of course not. Neither does God wait. If we have given our life to God and have tried our best to be true and faithful to Him, it isn't His nature to run out on us simply because we temporarily forget to ask for His help. God knows us as a parent knows his child, each by name, each as an individual person. He helps us even when we fail to ask for help. It's a dark tunnel when life deals a hard blow, but God continues to help even if we fail to ask for it. There is light at both ends, so keep moving. One other thought about God helping us in life's dark tunnels. Even when we doubt if God can help us, He's still steadily working to help us. God's ability to help heal our hurt isn't totally dependent upon our mental capacity to believe that He can. God is not limited by our finite minds, nor even by our doubtful hearts. All too often, God is helping us even when we say He can't help us. Author John Gossip was a well-known Scottish preacher from Aberdeen, Scotland. After his wife's unfortunate death, he preached a sermon entitled, "But When Life Tumbles In, What Then?" In it, he said, and I quote him, "I cannot comprehend how people in trouble and loss and bereavement can fling away peevishly from the Christian faith. In God's name, fling to what? Have we not lost enough without losing that too? You people in the sunshine may believe the faith, but we in the shadow must believe it." So when passing through a tunnel, remember that there is light at both ends.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we are back. Folks, I'll tell you, it brings tears to my eyes when I think about the lives of these unborn, these preborn babies, and how easy it is to save their lives and give them an opportunity to live. I am supportive, and my church supports our own crisis pregnancy center here in the North Norfolk area, the Lakeim Center, and Toby DeVos runs that. and we've gone to the annual banquets, and we've contributed to it, and so forth. And nothing moves me more than when a mother gets up and brings up the child that she thought she was going to abort. And that child is happy and smiling and bright and just full of life. It's just gratifying because, you know, that's what God intended. Not this idolatrous nonsense of sacrificing babies on the altar of selfishness. So God bless Dan Steiner and God bless Preborn. And folks, once again, as he said, if you want to contribute, 877-616-2396 is the number, 877-616-2396. And if you want to make a contribution online, of course, just go to our website, afr.net, and it's right there on the homepage. You won't miss it, right there on the homepage. And we just want to say thank you again to them for the work that they are doing. And I've told you all, I'm going to make a contribution to it. I know my wife would be glad because my wife is avidly pro-life. And I would just encourage you all, my birthday aside, I mean, if you want to do something for, if you think, well, I'd like to acknowledge Bishop Jackson's birthday, this would be a great way to do it. I can't think of any better birthday gift than to help save the lives of unborn children. Okay, well, all right. In addition to that, we've got one thing in the news that's not getting as much attention as I think it should, although since I don't watch network television a lot, I hear these things. I don't necessarily see them. But what I'm hearing is Michael Bloomberg has bought up the television sets, that he's everywhere, that he's ubiquitous, that he is pervasive, he's like a bad smell that permeates the place. There's nowhere you can go to get rid of it. That might be a little too much, but you know what I mean, whatever analogy you want to use, but that he's everywhere. You know, the man's worth about $50 billion, according to some estimates, and he is apparently spending money like it's water, like there's no end to it, and he's prepared to spend, I think he said he's prepared to spend $1 billion to make sure that Donald Trump does not get elected. And I've been sort of looking at this and observing this and thinking about this. And you know, this thought is what came to mind. And of course, some are saying, you know, he's trying to buy the election. He's trying to buy the election. Well, first of all, I can tell you almost unequivocally, Michael Bloomberg is not going to get elected. He is not going to get elected. He could spend $10 billion. He's not going to get elected, okay? And he's not going to get elected because I've learned this in my political campaigns, in observing political campaigns, working in political campaigns, supporting candidates. I've learned this. You can have all the money in the world, but if you've got a bad candidate, that candidate's not going to win. Certainly not in major races. I mean, you may be able to do it in a small situation where you can get your family and friends who, you know, overlook the fact that you're a bad candidate and vote for you anyway. But where you're reaching large numbers of people and you're trying to get them to vote for you, if you're a bad candidate, money can't solve that. It just can't. And Michael Bloomberg is a bad, bad candidate. You know, Michael Bloomberg is seen as a guy who wants to control the American people. Remember, he's been spending lots of money trying to, in effect, subvert, if not just outright get rid of, our Second Amendment rights. So he has raised up political opponents all over the country, because he's interjected himself in a lot of state and local races with that and that alone in mind. I want to subvert your Second Amendment rights. I want those gone. I don't think anybody in America, and other than his bodyguards, of course, and the police, should have guns. He wants guns gone, period. And he's even said he would support a socialist like Bernie Sanders over a free enterprise, constitutional conservative like Donald Trump, which to me is just insane. But I really believe this, folks. I think to say that Michael Bloomberg wants to buy the election is selling him short. I think what Michael Bloomberg wants is to buy the country and its people. I think that's what he really wants. I think he wants to buy you. He wants to buy me. Because I don't know whether you're aware of this, but you know, one of the things he's been quietly doing over the last several years is he's been quietly giving large sums of money to municipalities all over this country and nonprofits all over this country buying loyalty. Yeah, and so mayors all over the country love him because he's gone into their cities, given them money, given their cities money, given nonprofits in their areas money, and the mayors are coming out absolutely enthusiastically supportive of Michael Bloomberg because they've been bought like chattel. And, you know, and folks, you all tell me if you think I'm taking this analogy too far, but I really don't. Because he keeps talking about his money. He's money, his money. He's going to spend money. He's going to use his money. He's going to use his money. I mean, you don't ever hear candidates talk like that. But he is. And so to me, somebody needs to tell him that the American people are not for sale. That we are human beings with opinions and ideas and thoughts which are not subject to being purchased and changed for at a price, which apparently he thinks he can do. Somebody needs to tell him the slavery ended in 1865, and we're not going back to that. I'm talking about all Americans. All Americans need to say, we're not going back to that. That's done. So you can't turn America into a nation of slaves with your $50 billion. Because I really get the feeling, folks, that that's exactly what he's trying to do. And frankly, for the weak of heart and for those lacking in integrity, he's already done it. He's already got a whole bunch of people who are bought and paid for, lock, stock, and barrel. And you know, the interesting thing is, folks, that really, once again, points out the utter hypocrisy of the left. Weren't they always the ones telling us that the Republicans only cared about people with money and the Republicans have the money and we represent the little guy and blah, 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 blah. It was all a lie then. It's still a lie, but it's a facade that they create. The fact of the matter is the left is about as greedy for a dollar as any group you want to meet, and they're going to use it to buy power over us if they can. Back in a moment.
Well, if your kids ask you questions you can't answer, that's actually a great thing. It means that they're asking questions.
Natasha Crane on Focus on the Family Minute.
But if you don't know how to answer the question, then say, I'm so glad you're asking this. Let's talk about how to find out an answer together, a biblically sound answer. Because kids need to understand that today. It's not just going on Google and typing in, you know, how do I know that God exists? Because they're going to get a lot of different answers. So if you don't know the answer yourself, you're in a position then where you can really guide them in saying, you know what, I'm not sure the best way to explain that. So let's look into that together. But the number one thing I would say to any parent who feels overwhelmed is to take one step. If you recognize that this is important and it's something that you have to do because there's nothing more important than raising your kids to know and love the Lord, then do something. And it could be something as simple as picking up a book. It could be listening to a podcast. It could, whatever it is, do that one thing. And when you are equipped yourself, then you're in the position to equip your kids with this understanding so that they're better prepared today.
You'll hear more from Natasha at familyminute.org.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more.
Here's what others are saying.
Hi, this is Nancy Wesley, Executive Director of the Pregnancy Care Clinic in Salem, Illinois. JJ's helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
Information on JJ's availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Such comfort. And yet, can you imagine having never read those words for yourself? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and we've been engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years for $5 a Bible. You know, there are Christians in Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East who've never held a Bible in their own hands because of corrupt governments that oppress, majority religions that persecute, and other conditions related to living remotely and in extreme poverty. Some of these new believers, they memorize long stretches of Scripture, while others cherish the Word they heard preached on Sunday until they can gather again. They long for God's Word to hold in their hands and to cherish in their hearts as they grow in His grace and knowledge. Details on how you can be involved are at sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And the number is 888-589-8840. We've got open lines right now, folks, so feel free to call in. Remember, Michael Bloomberg is also the guy who wanted to ban large sugary drinks. Now, if that's not a little Napoleonic, totalitarian Napoleonic complex. That's the word I'm looking for. Complex, not conflict, but complex. Who do you think you are telling people what kind of drinks they can? I mean, so this is what I mean, folks. He wants to buy control over people and turn the American people into his little slaves. So he'll tell you what size drink you can have, all right? Yeah, I mean, because you don't know any better. Leave it to the godlike Michael Bloomberg to tell you what size drink you're allowed to have. I mean, you know, I am amazed at the arrogance of the wealthy on the left, particularly. Now, I'm not saying there might not be conservatives with some of the same issues. Human beings are human beings. But the left has this God complex where they really believe they know better than everybody else. And they're going to force everybody else, force you, not persuade you, force you to do what they want you to do and to live life the way they want you to live it. And so I think this is the problem. They think because they're gifted at making money, and if you've got $50 billion, obviously you've got a gift for making money. I trust it's all made legitimately, but obviously, you know, you've got an ability there, okay, that has served you very well. It doesn't mean you're smart about everything in life. It just means you're smart about making money. You could be as dumb as a brick about other things, and apparently he is. But because you have this heightened sense of entitlement and of noblesse oblige, and you know better than everybody else what's good for everybody, you get the dangerous situation in which a person starts to think, well, I can use my money to force people to do what I want them to do. And so that means you don't even understand the nature of a constitutional republic, because that's not the way it works. Okay? That's simply not the way it works. The number again is 888-589-8840. What do you all think about Bloomberg? One other thing, and then I'm going to come right to your calls. I was really gratified, folks, to see that there were some Iranians in the midst of the vicious regime that is running that country, that there were some Iranians who refused to walk on an American flag, an Israeli flag, that was intentionally put on the ground to give people a chance to walk over it, stomp on it, disrespect them, and so forth. And that there are many Iranians who said the United States is not our problem. The Ayatollah and his regime is our problem. Wow. Well, that gives me a lot of hope. That's why I tend to, when I talk about the left, I talk about these elites, because they're the ones who are leading people by the nose down the path of destruction. And a lot of times people haven't even thought through it. They've inherited a commitment to a certain party, and they're just sort of not even thinking about it. And thank God more and more are waking up. But these elites, I think they know better, and they just don't care. Okay, all right, the lines are filling up. So let's get to your calls, because I know we're in the last segment. Let's go to William in Texas. William, welcome.
Hey, brother, nice talking to you again. I wanted to tweak what you said about Bloomberg and how he's spending his money. I believe what he's doing is the same thing that Obama did with bailout money. He's actually recycling his own money for the purpose of having it donated back to him, so it looks like he's raising a lot of money and that there's a big following behind him and a lot of support behind him, when in fact probably, you know, the majority of people don't want to have anything to do with him. So it's a trick, I guess you could say.
William,
think about it. When Obama was dropping bailout money, who was he dropping it to? Big unions that vote Democrat. He was recycling American taxpayer debt into these entities so that he could be guaranteed lots of money coming back. And it keeps coming back, too, because there were such huge sums of money. Now we're talking about gigantic speaking fees for all the Democrats and everything like that. But now they've got donation money for 1,000 years that they can spend before they ever dip into their own pockets through the bailout.
William, I've got a lot of calls to take, but William, that's a brilliant point. I don't know whether that's your original thought, but that's a brilliant point. And I hadn't even thought about that, because you're right. This is a legal way to short circuit the campaign donation laws, because, for example, I'm not allowed to give people money and say, hey, well, here, now you donate to this campaign. That's illegal. You're not allowed to do that. But this is a way of doing it where you can never trace it, but you get the same effect. And so, wow, you know, I think somebody ought to complain to the FEC about that. The moment you start seeing money pouring in from entities or people who are related to entities that Bloomberg has given millions of dollars to. William, thank you. I mean, that really is a very, very insightful point. Let's go to Arnold of Mississippi. Arnold, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Bishop?
I'm blessed, Arnold. How are you?
Pretty good. This is my second call, and I want to thank you again for taking my call. But when you commented on the former Mayor Bloomberg being a totalitarian type of person and one that has the Napoleonic complex, I want to share with you, I had recently watched and listened to an interview, watched an interview on TV, and you may have watched the same interview about Mr. Bloomberg, and how that one of his immediate staff that, you know, was close to him had decided to have a baby and get pregnant. And the first thing she did was to announce to Mr. Bloomberg, hey, I got some really great news to share with you. I'm going to have a baby. And she said without emotion, without the common decency of sharing in her joy, whether he was an abortionist type person or not, he looks at her and says, you are going to go ahead and kill the baby. And I thought to myself, wow, that is obvious. That's terrible.
That's evil.
That's terrible. Even with all my Judeo-Christian thinking set aside, I thought to myself, that doesn't even equal common decency.
Now, was this the woman who reported this incident?
The woman reported the incident. It was on the news. It was in the form of a commentary about Bloomberg himself, and she was asked, she had made a report on his thoughts and on his negative comments about her pregnancy, and I thought to myself, how indecent that was. I mean,
Arnold, let me get some other calls in, but man, that is, brother, that gives you the chills, the thought of this guy being president of the United States. Patsy of Arkansas, welcome. Patsy, you're on.
Thank you, Bishop. I just called to say happy birthday.
And thank you, Patsy.
You were born on Sunday. I looked it up.
I was. That's right.
gave me one time. So you're good and fair. Let's see, how does it go? Sunday's child is, I've forgotten now how it goes. I have a Sunday's child. My daughter, who's 50, was born on a Sunday. But anyway, I don't like Michael Bloomberg anyway either. And I think that if he wants to buy a country, he should leave ours alone, go somewhere in the world where there's some land for sale, buy that and move there. He has enough money to do that. Just go away from us and our country.
Patsy, I could not agree with you more. I'm going to try to find that ditty, by the way, of Sunday's Child. I'd never heard that one, but you're right. You looked it up. You're right. I was born at 7:06 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I like to say I was born in time to go to church. So thanks, Patsy, for the call. Let's go to Diana in Mississippi. Diana, welcome. Diana, you're on, and you're going to be the last caller.
Oh, I'm so honored, and I am so honored speaking with you. I just want to say a few things here, and I hope this encourages everybody else. Well, we'll start with Donald Trump first. Donald Trump, God put him in there, and if God is for him, who could be against him? And another thing, I cannot be bought by Michael Bloomberg because I'm already bought with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, and have a good evening.
All right, Diana. Well, Diana, what can I say to that? You know what, though? Since you were so brief, Diana, let's see if we can get Iris in. Iris, you only have about 30 seconds, but Iris, I'm going to get you on. Go right ahead.
My point is that Bloomberg is doing nothing more than George Soros has done for years and years, tried to buy America from behind the scenes. The only thing is that Bloomberg is going out front to run for president, and Soros has funded everybody that was anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti-America for years and years. Do you?
Amen. Iris, and we're not going to let either one of them prevail. Our country is going to remain the land of the free and the home of the brave, because America is a nation whose God is the Lord. And anybody who has a problem with that, in my view, they don't understand America. So, folks, thank you all for everything. Thanks for the happy birthday wishes, and God bless you all. Keep praying for us. Keep listening. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.